This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Hello and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Randall Whitestone, Head of Communications for the Americas for the Carlisle Group. Today we're discussing credit markets with Linda Pace, Head of U.S. Structured Credit. Her group, which primarily invests in broadly syndicated leveraged loans, is part of Carlisle's Global Market Strategies business. Linda helps oversee $17 billion in collateralized loan obligations, and her group has raised four CLO funds in the U.S. this year, totaling more than $2 billion. Linda, good to have you here today.
Thanks, Randy.
Linda, let's start by talking about what a CLO is and how it's structured for investors.
Sure, Randy. A CLO essentially is a large, diversified pool of leveraged loans that uses financing to enhance the yield on those loans. So, for instance, in our group, we focus on companies that are large companies, often publicly traded companies, and sometimes owned by private equity sponsors as well. Examples of names that are in the market today would be Heinz, Hertz, Six Flags Great Adventure, BMC Software, and of course others. And what we do is we look at these companies and we look for opportunities to invest in the loans and or bonds that those companies use to finance themselves. We put together a portfolio, and these portfolios can be anywhere from $300 million in size to $800 million in size, though $500 to $600 million is generally the average. And we take those portfolios and use then non-mark-to-market term leverage to enhance the yields of those portfolios. And investors can invest in the equity or the debt of those portfolios. Most of the debt is rated AAA, and again, it's term financing without mark-to-market. AAA yields today are LIBOR plus 150 approximately, and equity yields today are approximately 15%.
So you've been running this group for almost 15 years. How has this market evolved, and how have these loans become more broadly syndicated, more institutionalized? Can you just give us a little color on the evolution of this area?
Sure. The market really has grown up substantially over the past decade or so. If you want to think about it in terms of size, today the broadly syndicated leveraged loan market is over $600 billion, while 10 years ago it was barely $150 billion. Also, the number of investors and the types of investors has grown significantly. Today, it's possible to invest in leveraged loans through CLOs, which is the largest category of investor, also via publicly traded mutual funds, closed-end funds, separately managed accounts, and ETFs, which is the newest category of investor. And what's come with all of this growth is a more robust secondary market with more liquidity and also more transparency in investor reporting, which has all been good for investors.
Now, in 2006 and 2007, before the great financial crisis, issuance of CLOs in the U.S. averaged more than $90 billion a year. In 2009, 2010, it fell to practically zero. The markets opened back up in a big way, of course, reaching $54 billion in 2012, heading for more than $70 billion this year. Let's talk a little bit about the reasons for this resurgence. Is it due simply to the hunger for yield in a low interest rate environment? Is the level of confidence gained from seeing how these instruments were tested and performed through difficult times?
It's actually all of that. During the recession, CLOs, as you said, really did become a four-letter word. Any structured product using a C as the first letter was taboo. What we saw during that period was the mark-to-market values of CLO tranches dropped to sometimes single-digit territory for equity. And for the AAA leverage that CLOs use, which is supposed to be bulletproof, dropped really 10, 20, or 30 points below par. So with that kind of mark-to-market performance, not surprisingly, CLO investors pulled away from the market, as did other securitized investors. However, what we've seen since then is really remarkable, the resiliency of the underlying assets, i.e. the leveraged loans, as well as the resiliency of the CLO structure itself. Remember, the loans are senior secured and at the top of a company's balance sheet. So while it felt like the world of credit was crashing down during the recession and default rates did rise, corporate loans actually performed very well, especially relative to other securitized assets. It's also important to remember that the leverage that CLOs use is term leverage. It's not mark to market. There's no forced selling of assets when prices drop. Therefore, CLOs could hold their leverage. So as a result, there was virtually no principal loss in any CLO tranche. And today, those equity investors are receiving better than their originally expected returns. This proven performance really brought investors back to the market, slowly at first in 2011, but quickly thereafter in 2012 and 13. And that was really driven by a search for yield with equity returns for CLOs kind of in the mid to high teens range.
So who invests, Linda, in CLOs today? And how's that mix changed both over time and in recent years? And are there different types of investors with different goals?
It depends what part of the CLO you're talking about. But on the equity side, the equity investors today really are quite varied. We see pension funds, we see hedge funds, we see asset managers, we see high net worth individuals. And relative to years ago, again, prior to the recession, I'd say probably there's some shift in that equity base, but the same cast of characters are buying this product. On the debt side, especially the AAA side, we have seen a large change as the sieves, as they call them, are out of the market. And we're really seeing kind of true AAA buyers, which, as you would expect, are banks and insurance companies and also some asset managers.
So we've had this resurgence. We have these investors interested in this space. What does this resurgence in CLO issuance mean for the private equity industry?
The rebound in CLO issuance has been very, very good for private equity investors because it's contributed significantly to an increase in demand for loans. This has allowed private equity to have consistent access to financing for new LBOs, for tack-on acquisitions, or for dividend recaps. One of the important attributes of CLOs is that they are long-only vehicles, and they have locked-in term financing. So what that means is, one, they do not take short positions, and they're always pretty much a net buyer of loans, i.e. very consistent demand. Also, unlike mutual funds and hedge funds, they aren't subject to investor redemptions. Again, this provides a very stable financing base, which is important to private equity. Without a robust CLO market, private equity would face a more volatile financing scenario and very likely a higher cost of capital, which would have a direct impact on returns.
So let's talk a little bit more about the risk points. In such a low interest rate environment where fundamental credit risk is benign, are investors more tolerant of risk than they should be in their quest for yield?
Part of the reason that investment inflows into floating rate loans have been so strong is because the yields have been quite attractive. Loans had been yielding approximately 6% within a default risk environment that's at historic lows. So for instance, relative to treasuries or investment grade debt, loans were paying materially more without investors having to take on much additional default risk. Also, at one point during the past year or so, loans were yielding as much as some high-yield bonds. So they were just considered a very attractive asset class. More recently, during 2013, the relative value between these asset classes has gotten more so back into line, with loan yields now at about 5%. This yield, though, is still pretty attractive, especially given that the low default environment persists, combined with the fact that loans are floating rate and therefore provide a hedge against potential rises in interest rates.
Okay, to follow up on that, given rising leverage, loosening terms, declining percentage of equity investments relative to deal size, how is this different from 2006, 2007?
You're right, Randy, in that the strength of investment inflows into the loan asset class has given rise, as you would expect, to increasing risk tolerance. And in credit, this translates into higher leverage multiples, lower equity investments, and looser, in other words, borrower-friendly structures and terms. We did see aggressive leverage levels and loose terms just prior to the Great Recession as well. However, there's two primary differences between today and then. The first is that companies are still not operating at the peak EBITDA levels that they had been in 2006, 2007. That implies that there's still room for some growth, even though it may not be all the way back to those peak EBITDA levels. The other difference is that thanks to the low interest rate environment that we're in, companies have more liquidity now. A good measurement of that is that just prior to the recession, LBOs came to market with a fixed charge coverage ratio of around 1-to-1. Sometimes it was a little higher, sometimes even it was a little lower. Today, however, coverage ratios are 2.5, 3, even 3.5-to-1, which again implies a much better liquidity situation for companies, and this gives the market confidence that defaults will stay low for a while.
Now let's talk about the current backdrop for credit. There's been a lot of noise about Fed policy vis-a-vis low interest rates. There's a sense of benign credit risk. There's a sense of low defaults. What are the opportunities and risks in this environment, particularly with questions about the uncertain timing on the Fed taper? And what technical aspects of the market are you most focused on?
When it comes to market technicals, we're focused on two things. As you mentioned, one is interest rates and how the movement or eventual movement in rates will impact inflows into credit. With uncertainty around Fed tapering, loans provide a good place to invest since they're floating rate. This will keep demand strong and keep yields on the loans we buy from rising. If that situation would change, provided defaults are still low, it would be a buying opportunity, particularly for CLOs that don't have to worry about redemptions. The other technical factor that we're focused on is increased regulation, both as it affects banks and CLOs. Now, because it's still unclear about what regulations will say and what the timing will be, the exact impact is not perfectly known, but we can say with confidence that there'll be some risks and some opportunities.
Now let's talk about the overall market for corporates. Verizon was recently able to price a $49 billion bond issue, so clearly investment grade is showing real strength. How does that shake out for high yield? How does that appetite manifest itself?
The Verizon deal was a topic of conversation because of the sheer size of that issuance and how well it was received by the market. I don't think you can extrapolate that deal to the rest of the market, other than to say there is significant demand for debt for the right company. In non-investment grade land, a quality company today could probably raise without too much trouble $15 to $20 billion by tapping the U.S. loan market, the European loan market, U.S. high yield bond market, and the commercial bank market.
So ironically, given all this strong demand, actual M&A activity is a little bit light. How does this factor impact the leveraged loan market and the credit profile of those deals that are actually being done?
Yes, you're right. The market is definitely hungry for new M&A activity. The new issue flow that has come to market over the past year or two has really been dominated by refinancings of existing credits. Therefore, competition for assets is strong, and this has kept yields in check. It also has allowed more leverage to be acceptable and for companies to take more dividends, sometimes repeatedly.
Okay, so as we look ahead, what are the risks and opportunities in leveraged loans, and what are the implications for investors as they position their own portfolios? And can you give us any perspective on the proposed risk retention rules and how they might impact CLO issuance?
Sure. Number of things to say there. In the short term, we believe the risks are technical, as they have been for the past couple of years. Things such as interest rate movements that will affect supply and demand and therefore impact pricing on loans is really what's been the main focus for the markets. In the medium term, maybe short to medium term, we think the risk is around regulation. And then in the medium term, then you have to start thinking about fundamental credit risk, as eventually we will go through another credit cycle. But we think that's a couple of years away. The opportunity today has really, again, been the same that it's been for the past couple of years, to invest in an asset class designed to protect against principal loss because you're investing in senior secured assets, and to protect against mark-to-market loss because the assets are floating rate.
So thank you, Linda, and thanks to you and our audience for listening to the latest Carlyle ValueCast.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlyle.com. This has been a Carlyle ValueCast podcast.